We begin the current daf Maseches B'Metzia, daf Tzadi. We begin on the bottom line of daf Pei Tes Mabez, but the Gemara continues the discussion in the previous daf, discussing the halachas of Leisachsim Sharbedishai, the prohibition of muzzling an animal while it threshes, which relates to the topic of the previous Mishnah regarding the halacha when hires a worker, where there's a similar halacha that you have to let him eat from the produce that he's working with. So the Gemara quotes Tarnabon, Lun Nabraisa, Paris Hamarachses Betfur, regarding a cow that's threshing produce. Now, merachs is specifically where they would take barley that was already peeled, they would soak it in water, and they would dry it in the oven. Then the cows would thresh it, they would step on it to remove not the outer husk, but the peel that's on the barley. Or as the Gemara continues on the top of Tzadi Merav, the Braisa continues, v'hadashis, or when a cow threshes regular barley, which when it's before it's threshed, when this has the husk, but it's betruma u'maiser. Now how that is, as the Gemara will later on explain, although generally truma u'maiser is only after you threshed it and you made it into a pile, and you smoothed out the pile, here's some of that when someone went and separated trumas and maisers when it was still in the stalk, and now the cow is threshing truma u'maiser. So one of these two cases, says the Braisa, eina eivim mishum bal tachsim. In these cases, the person that muzzles the animal and doesn't let it eat from it will not be violating the isra of leisachsim shebetishah. Now, the reason for that is, as Rashi explains, by the case of merachsos, is actually because it already had the stage of gemar malacha for meiser at the time when its original threshing. Again, you thresh the grain, then they would take it, soak it in water, and then put it in the oven, and then do it again to get off that little outer layer. As we explained in the previous stuff, the isra of leisachsim, and same thing for the halacha of a pail, eating is only like dayish, which that there was no chiv of meiser yet. Here, with the obligation of meiser already happened, therefore, when you're doing this work with the animal, there's no isra of leisachsim shabbadisha. So to regard the halacha of truma meiser, the reason being is because generally, dayish, threshing, is not done with truma meisers. And therefore the pasuk, when it was saying leisachsim shabbadisha, was not talking about truma meiser. And the reason for that is, as we just explained before, generally, in a normal case, you don't have truma meiser only after you threshed it, and then you had it in the pile and you smoothed that. The pile, as the pasuk says in Bamidbar Yudches, kadogin min hagoyrin, like grain from the pile, that's when the obligation of truma meiser generally starts. So when the Torah tells you l'safsam shabedisha, when you're threshing, generally it's not with trumas and meisers, and therefore that's not what the pasuk was talking about. And therefore there is no violation of, even if you do have trumas and meisers, as we'll explain, because you took off trumas and meisers from the stalks when they were still standing, and then the cows threshing it, there's not going to be any violation in these two cases. Aval Bud says the Braisa, Memneimarasa Ain, because of what people see, that people shouldn't say, hey, wait a second, I see this guy has his animal, he's threshing with the produce. No, they don't know either that it was already threshed once before or that it's Trumas Amaisis. And they're going to say he's violating Lesachsim Shabbatisha, would not let him do things that give the appearance of wrongdoing. So therefore, it says the Braisa, maybe bull. So the owner has to bring a fistful, me'isa hamin, from that type, that species that the animal is threshing, the title of a treskal and jabapia, and then he hangs it from a basket or a sack that's hanging from the animal's neck and has the food inside of it, and the animal eats from it. That is to take care of the problem of it looks like, hey, you're not letting the animal eat and you're working with it. So you have a little bit hanging from the basket just so that it shouldn't give the appearance of wrongdoing. I mean, he says, actually, maybe karshinin. You could even bring vetch. I mean, in other words, it doesn't have to be just that min that the animal is working with. And a tail line, you can hang it from its neck. And actually, shekarshinim yafis lamanakalak, because actually vetch is better than all the types of food that it might be threshing with. And maybe that's the best. So even though it's different, he's lenient. And he says you could have that hanging. And moreover, it's actually even better than the things that it's threshing with. That was halacha, this price of qualifying this halacha of leisachsim shabbatisha. That has the gemara v'rimini, but this seems to be contradicted from another brisa. The brisa says, paris hamarachsis betvur, again, same as the first case of our brisa, a cow that's threshing, that's stepping on the grain that was already once threshed before and then put in the oven, now it's stepping in it again. Eino eivim mishum bal tachsim, as we said, you don't violate the iser of leisachsim, and the reason for that is because it already had gemar malacha once before. Now, continues the Braisa to the second case, v'adashis b'truma u'maiser, eivim mishum bal tachsim. Here, this Braisa clearly contradicts the first Braisa and says, but whereas by truma u'maiser, when you're threshing for the first time, then you will be violating if you muzzle the animal when it's threshing it. Continues the Brayso, another halacha. V'nachri hadash b'parasit shal Yisrael. When a non-Jew threshes produce with the cow of a Jew, is using the Jew's animal, then eina aver, then the owner of the animal does not violate when he told the non-Jew, here, go ahead and muzzle my animal and go ahead and thresh your produce. He doesn't violate Mishum Bal Taksim because of the violation of not to muzzle his animal. And the inverse, V'Yisrael Hadash B'Parasa Shal Nachri, a Jew that threshes with a non-Jew's cow, Eiv Mishum Bal Taksim, if he muzzles the animal, though it's not his own animal, but he's doing the threshing, even though it's a non-Jew's animal, if he muzzles it, he violates the Isser of Bal Taksim. So that's a brisa. So the Gemara points out, Kasha Truma Truma, Kasha Maisa Maisa. We have a contradiction between the two brises and halachas of Trumas and Maisas. Is there a violation of Leisachsim or not? So the Gemara explains, Bishlam at Truma Truma Leikasha, we could resolve that it's not a difficulty, the two brises regarding the halachas of Truma, because Kan Bitruma, the first brisa that says that you don't violate if you muzzle the animal and thresh his Truma, we could say it's talking about regular Truma. So regular truma, as we explained before, the pasuk wasn't talking about when it says leisachsim shar bedishai, because generally, when you're doing daish, when you're threshing, there is no truma samaisus. But kan begidule truma, the second verse that says that you will violate was talking about the growth of truma. What that means to say is, if let's say one has grain from his pile of grain and he separates as truma, then the person goes and plants those seeds which were truma, and out comes a growth. So the growth is from truma seeds. So those growths are rabbinically considered as truma. Now this is actually one of the 18 things that the camp of Beis Shammai had overpowered the camp of Beis Hillel. The Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos, David Zayin Mabeis, to say that it will have the halacha rabbinically like truma. Now, but since biblically it's not truma, so therefore, according to biblical pasuk, when it says L'saksim Shem B'dishai, that will include the threshing of this grain, because this grain, biblically, is really not considered truma. Rabbinically, they consider the truma which was planted and then outgrowths, for whatever reasons they wanted it to be considered still as truma. So since it's only a growth of truma, there the halacha will be that, as the second brisa says, that you will be violating the isra of leisachsim because it is like a regular grain that's not truma because it's only rabbinically truma. So that would resolve the two brises. The first brisa says that you don't violate it by biblical truma, meaning by regular truma, and the second verse is talking about gedulei truma, the outgrowths of truma, which is only rabbinically truma, and therefore biblically it's like regular produce, hence the issur of leisachsim shel bedisha. Ela maaser, maaser kashas. But we still have the difficulty between the two brises regarding what's the halacha of maaser, is there issur leisachsim or not? So the Gemara says, now, v'chitem, and if you're going to say maaser, maaser, nama leikasha, that it's also no difficulty between the two brises of the halacha of maaser, because kamba maaser, kamba gedulei maaser, the first brise is talking about regular maaser, which, as we said, generally there's no ma'aser at the time of threshing, therefore that was not included in the isra of the pasuk. And the second brisa is talking about the growth of ma'aser. You take ma'aser and you plant it, and then out comes geduli ma'aser, where biblically it's not ma'aser, and therefore there would be an isra of leisachsim shel bedisha. And that says the Gemara, no, you can't say that. Because bishlam geduli truma, truma, it's very well understood that by the growths of a truma seed, then out comes, we say it's considered truma rabbinically. So since at least rabbinically it's considered truma, so we had to say that although it's quote truma, but you'll still be violating the isser of leisachsim, because as we said, because biblically it really is not truma, and therefore it's leisachsim shabadisha. But eligiduli maister chulaninu, but says the Gemara, but the outgrowths of a maister seed, which was separated as maister, the taif which was separated, and then you take it, instead of giving it to the labor you planted, that's actually not considered even rabbinically as maister, it's actually considered chulin, what comes out. Unconsecrated produce, where of course it's going to be isser of leisachsim, there would be no even necessity of a chiddush. By geduli truma, at least there's a necessity of a chiddush, where you're saying, although it's truma, but it's only rabbinically, and therefore you're going to violate it. There's not like in the Mishnah Masechtas Trumas. The Mishnah says, geduli tevel, if someone takes untithed produce, which is it already had the obligation of trumas and maisus because it was grain which was smoothed out the pile of all the grain, then instead of separating any trumas and maisus, he goes and he plants it in its untithed produce, in that state, and plants it in the ground, and out came a growth. And so to the geduli maister sheni, the outgrowth of maister sheni, which was taken and planted, chulin, what comes out is like regular chulin. And therefore, what that means to say is that a person could eat from it in a non-established way, which we call achilas arai, until it's now that new produce is smoothed together in the big pile. And the reason for that is because since what was planted is no more, that's how a seed happens to decompose and out comes something else. So the iser of tevel that originally was on it, which was planted, is totally nullified and void. So what comes out is new chulin. So therefore, again, by truma, there was a rabbinic decree, as the Gemara there explains, either because the case of when you have regular truma by a Yisrael, that the concern was that maybe he's going to plant it to be exempt from giving it to the Kohen, and he's never going to give it to the Kohen. Or a case of when you have truma that's tame in the hand of a Kohen, where he's going to want to plant it so that now what comes out, it's going to be tar, it's going to be like a new thing, but he's going to delay it and hold on to it to the planting season, and he might come to stumble and end up consuming truma tame, which is a violation for the Kohen. So there we said that rabbinically it's considered as truma. So they would be required to say a chiddush, but here in the case of Meiser, it wouldn't make sense to say that the second Brisa is saying that you violate Tumat Gidule Meiser when there is no such thing as Gidule Meiser, meaning it's not considered even rabbinically as Meiser. So that wouldn't be the case to say that that's a case of Meiser that you're going to be violating, because that's not even considered as Meiser. So back to the question, how do we resolve the two Brises regarding the lochas of Meiser? So the question is Eloloi Kasher. Rather, it's not a difficulty. Ha b'meiser rishon. The second Brice that says that you do violate of muzzling the animal when it's threshing the produce of Meiser is Tumat Meiser Rishon, where Meiser Rishon, that's considered something of that doesn't have any sanctity, it's just given to the Levi, but anyone can eat Meiser Rishon, so that's considered like regular daish, regular thrashing, and therefore you'll be violating. Haba Meiser Sheni. But the first Brice says that you will not be violating is because Tumat Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni has certain kedusha, you have to bring it up and eat in Yerushalayim, certain sanctity, and therefore that's not considered as the person's own thing. Hence, it's going to be considered not a violation of Leisachsim Shabbadisha, like the halacha is by Truma. That's one option. V'bayisim, or if you want, the Gemara says you could say a different approach. Hava haba Meiser Sheni b'lekash, actually both Brisa Tumat Meiser Sheni, and it's not a difficulty, because although we just described that Meiser Sheni would be the case of when you would not be violating because it has a sanctity, and then the Gemara says, actually, no, because it depends. These two Brises are different Tanoic opinions. Ha Remeir, the first Brise that says that you're not going to be violating, in other words, because as we said, it will have a certain sanctity, is like Remeir. Ha, but the other Brise that says that you will be violating is Rabbi Yehuda, which the primary machlokes is Rabbi Yehuda has brought himself to Kedushin, Dafnan Beis Mabez, but as the Gemara explains, Ha Remeir, this Brise that says that you're not going to be violating, meaning the first Brise, is like Remeir de Amar Meiser Mamma Gavayuhu, he says Meiser Sheni, is considered the property of Shemaim, of heaven, of Hashem. In other words, and therefore, as Rashi explains, you're not going to call it Leisachsim Sher Bidi Shoy, that you're not allowed to have the axe threshing. Not a Muslim when he does his threshing, because it's not his threshing. It's Hashem's threshing. It's Hashem's money, the Meiser Sheni. Hashem just lets you eat it in Yerushalayim, but it's Hashem's. Now, moreover, Rashi explains that explains the halacha of Meiser for the first Brisa, that you're not going to be over. The halacha of Truma, you would have to say he's talking about where it's the cow of a Yisrael, which is forbidden to eat truma, because it's owned by Yisrael. Only the animal of a kohen is allowed to eat truma. Now, even if a kohen threshes with the animal of a Yisrael, the Mishnah elsewhere teaches us that a kohen that rents a cow from a Yisrael, from a non-kohen, even though he has obligation to feed the animal, is not allowed to feed it karshine truma, vetch of truma. And that's why, since he's putter, because he's not allowed to feed it the truma that he has, and therefore that's why that's the case of truma of the first brisa, that is not going to be over because of bal tachzim. So again, the first brisa is like Remeir, whereas ha Reb Yehuda dama ma'isa sheni mamen hedru. But the other brisa that says that you will be violating is going like Reb Yehuda, who holds that no, ma'isa sheni is just like ma'isa rishon in that sense, where it's not owned by hekdesh, and therefore we consider it like regular l'sasim shabadisha, and therefore you're going to be violating. Now the Gemara, however, asks an essential question, hechidami, which we had alluded to earlier. How could you even have this case of, which was introduced by us in the beginning of the daf from this brisa that says that you're gonna, if you're threshing the trumas of meiser, how could you have meiser before threshing? Isn't the obligation of meiser only when you first thresh and then you take all those grain and you put it into a pile and you smooth out the pile, then the obligation of meiser happens? How do you have this halacha of dashes b'truma meiser? That explains the Gemara. We're talking about where the owner went beforehand, and he designated the name and called it Meiser Bishibon when it was still in its stalks. And it, although generally the obligation only starts after, but he preempted that, and he already said, "Oh, this is a tenth of my crop. I'm going to make this into Meiser, and therefore it's already Meiser." And then if the animal's threshing, that's where this halacha of these two brises will be relevant. Now, however, the Gemara asks, where we explained that the second brise that says that you will be violating the Isra of Lesachsim Shabbadishai by Trumas and Meiser, so we explained the halacha of Truma. Then we said, regarding Meiser, how to resolve the contradiction. Well, the first brise is Remeir, the second brise is Rabbi Huda, who he says, Meiser Shein is Mamon Hadyid, it's like regular produce, where of course there's the Isra of Lesachsim Shabbadishai. But then, as the Gemara, Rabbi Huda, since we say that the has the designation of Meiser according to Rabbi Huda, although it is considered Mamon Hadyid, but it is considered Meiser, and it's Meiser Sheni, and Meiser Sheni is forbidden to be consumed out of the walls of Yerushalayim. So the question is, how could the negative prohibition of Leisachsim, which tells us that the animal, when it's threshing, has to eat from it, override and negate the Isser of Lesucha Lechel B'Sharecha, that you're not allowed to eat it in your gates and you have to bring it to Yerushalayim? How does that override that? Although you're not allowed to muzzle the animal, but at the same time, you'll have the animal eat the produce of Meiser Sheni, which has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Right, we're talking about where the animal was threshing within the wall of Beis Pagi, which was the outermost circumference, the area of Yerushalayim, which was at one point added on to the perimeter of Yerushalayim, which is called Beis Pagi. So therefore, since it's inside, anyone could go ahead and eat, and therefore the animal could go ahead and eat from it when it's threshing. And actually, you have to let the animal eat, as we explained, because Meiser Sheni is Mamon Hadyid according to Yehuda, and therefore that will be included in the Isra of Leisachsim Shabbatisha. Now the Gemara says, Ibai Yisem Elokasha, we could say a third resolution of the seeming contradiction between these two brises and the halachas of Meiser. How so? Khan, the first brise says that you do not violate Leisachsim by Trumas and Meiser, by Meiser, is by Meiser Vadei, is by definite Meiser. Khan, by Meiser Demai. However, the second brise says that you will be violating is by Meiser Demai, meaning regular Meiser, as we explained before, that since Truma and Meiser are generally not around when you're threshing, that was not included in the Isra of Leisachsim Shabbadishai. That's the first brisa. Second brisa says that you will be violating is Tumat, the Meiser of Demai, which is when the person buys from an Amar, it's ignoramus, that's called Demai from the word of, what is this? We don't know if he took off Trumas and Meiser or not, where the halacha is only rabbinically when you buy from an Amar, if you have to separate the Meiser Sheini out of doubt and then bring it up to Yerushalayim. So since it's only doubtfully, but biblically, it really is considered as if there's no obligation of, meaning that this, what you're separating from the Amoritz is not Meiser, because we really assume that it is, it's just rabbinically we say we have to separate Meiser, so since it's not really Meiser biblically, and therefore you will be violating this of Leisachsim like regular Chulin, if you're threshing the animal, with the animal, this Meiser of the Mai. Now the Gemara says, Hashdas Lahachi, now that you came to this third approach to resolve the contradiction between Meiser, so Truma, Truma, and Namal Kasha, we have a second approach, how to resolve the contradiction of Trumas, where originally we said the approach was between Truma and Geduli Truma. Now the Gemara says you could say the same thing as the third Teretz of Meiser, you could say the same thing for Truma. Kama Truma's Vade, Kama Truma's Demai, where the first Bryce that says that you're not going to violate was Tumah, definite Truma, so biblically it's not Leisachsim Shabbadishai. The second brayse is the matruma of demai, where you took from an Am Haaretz and you bought produce from him. You don't know if he took off any matnas kohuna, any matnas leviyah. So you go and you have to separate truma. That's where biblically it's really no obligation. So therefore, it's like chulin. Therefore, there is a leisachim shabbatishai because it's too much truma's demai. So I think where it says no, bishlam ma'aser demai ika. There is such a halacha called ma'aser of demai. Now, Truma's Demai Miyaka, but the Gemara says, is there a case of Truma of Demai? But Ratanya, we'll learn the Brisa that Afu, also him, meaning Yechon and Kangola, as the Gemara in Masech the Seyed, Zav Memchesim and Alpha explains, Bitul Esa Vidui. He voided the Vidui, which was halacha of confession of Meiser, when the person comes to the base of Migdash and he says, Bi'arta Kodeshim Nabai, says, I liquidated all what was holy from my house, meaning I gave it to who was required to go to. So on that, Yechlin Kan Gadol, even from Tamid HaChacham Chaverim, people which were scrupulous in this halacha, he said that not allowed to say Bi'arta HaKodesh from the Bais, which part of that vidui, that confession is V'gam Nesatav L'Levi. He also gave what was required, the Maaser Rishon, and I also gave it to the Levi. And the reason for that is because actually they didn't give any more Maaser Rishon to the Levi as the halacha is. Because although the Torah tells you to give it to the Levi, Ezra penalized the Leviim because they weren't there in the time of the coming up to the second Beis HaMikdash, and therefore he commanded to give it to the Kehanim. So Yechon Kangola says you can't say the Vida anymore because you can't say the words of Gam Nesatav LeLevi. So he said that you can't say it anymore. Moreover, another halacha, B'gazar ala Demai, he also was the one that made this decree regarding Demai, meaning if someone purchases produce from Am Ha'aretz, that he has to separate all those required tithes and separations out of doubt, because Tevel, untithed produce, has a penalty of death. Now, except for Truma, what we call Truma Gedayla, which he did not decree that someone that buys from Am Ha'aretz has to separate it, because that was not included in the Gezerah on Demai. Because Lefisha Shalach B'chol Gvul Yisrael, because he had sent messengers throughout the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, Verani saw that the Amaratzim were negligent and degrading towards Halacha of Maaser, because Shalahayim Afrishim, because they did not separate Ella, the only thing that they did separate was Truma Gedel Bavad, which was called the Great Truma, which that's the 1/50th approximately that's given to the Kohen. That was something that they did separate. So there is no Halacha of Truma Demai. So says the Gemara, how can you say that now we could resolve the two brises of Truma and Truma, if you're over or not, by saying one's talking about Truma Vada, one's talking about Truma Demai, when there is no Truma of Demai? So Elikashra, the Gemara says, no, what you could say is, Kan B'Trumas Meister Vada. The first brise that says that you will not be violating is talking about not regular Truma, but what's called Trumas Meister. The halacha is that a Levi, when he gets his Meister, he has to separate from his tithe another tithe, what's called Maaser Min HaMaaser, and give that to the Kohen. That's called Truma, and it has all the prohibitions as Truma, which is called Trumas Maaser. So that's what the first brayse was talking about, Trumas Maaser Vadai, which is has the same halacha like Truma, as we said. Therefore, that's not included in Loisachsim Shabbadishan. Kam B'Trumas Maaser Demai. So although you don't have Truma Gedayla from an Am Ha'aretz, but there's an obligation of separating the Maaser, which he's not careful with, which is what's usually given to the Levi, that you have to separate. Then you have to separate the Maaser Min HaMaaser from that Maaser, which is called Trumas Maaser, that has the same halacha as Truma, and therefore you could have a case of Truma, of Demai, where you will be violating if you're threshing it with the animal, because that is considered biblically like regular Chulin, and therefore will be a violation of Lesachsim Shabbadishan. Nothing more continues with the following question, which will relate back actually to one of the brises that we just mentioned. Continuing on these halachas, Bayimim Rav Sheshes, they ask the following question from Rav Sheshes. Ha'isa echeles umasrezes mahu. If the animal was eating and it had diarrhea, it had an intestinal illness where the waste that would come out was liquidy like water, and therefore actually wheat that it's threshing, if it's eating, it's actually harmful for the animal. So what's halacha in that case? As the Gemara explains the question, Mishum demali lahu. What's the reason why there's halacha of leisachsim shabbadishan, not a muzzle animal when it's threshing? Is it because it's beneficial and it's good for the animal where it gets strength and stamina to do the work that it's doing, and therefore the Torah says you have to let the animal eat? Now, v'hol lemalila, in this case, it's not good for it because it's actually weakening the animal because it has this stomach ailment. Maybe the reason for the halacha of the Torah is because it's seasoned, it's in pain. Someone's doing work with food, delicious food for the animal, he can't eat, it's in pain. And v'chazi mitzdar, here also it's seasoned, it's in pain. Although it's bad for the animal, but he sees this delicious food, and therefore you're not allowed to muzzle it. So Amalu Rav Sheshe said to them, Tinisu, we learned in the Braisa, which was this Braisa that we quoted before. We said that B'Shimon ben Yechi Omer, he says, although we said this halacha, that in these two cases of regarding paris hamarachsis betvua or dashes betruma maisa, that you don't violate bal tachsim, but we said because of Marasayan, you have to bring from that min. Reb Shimon Yochai said that no, maybe karshin v'tayla, you could even bring vetch and hang it from the animal's neck. Sharkarshin v'yavas l'maykal, because he said although it's something else, it actually vetch is better from everything else. So says the Gemara, Shema minam mishum demali lahu. But one thing that we see from Reb Shimon's wording is that the concept of the Isra of Lisachsim is because of we want it to be better, what's better for the animal. So obviously, and that's why he says that vetch, even though it's something else, for sure you could, because it's even better than whatever it's threshing. So from there we see that actually if the animal would be masrezes, that actually they would be exempt from muzzling it, because it's not about what it sees and it's in pain, but regarding what's better for the animal. And what's better for it is not to eat in this case, because it has this stomach ailment. Ibarlu, the following question. What's the halacha regarding if a person could tell a non-Jew, chasoim perasi, muzzle my cow, v'dashpa, and go ahead and thresh with it your threshing? Meaning you have produce, take my cow, muzzle it, and do your work. What's the halacha? So the Gemara explains the question. Do we say that ki amrina? When did we say what's a halacha amiru l'nachri shvus? To tell a non-Jew to do something that you're not allowed to do is rabbinically forbidden. That is hanamili in your Shabbos. There's a skila where it's a well-known halacha of amiru l'nachri, and I'll tell non-Jew to do something on Shabbos because that's my Shabbos. Where if someone violates Shabbos, there's an issur skila, he gets stoned. So that's something very stringent. So that's where the rabbinic issur of telling a non-Jew to do the same thing is forbidden. But muzzling an animal, it's only a negative prohibition, but it doesn't have any death penalty to it. There, maybe we didn't say the isra of amil anachri, like demolition, or the Gemara says maybe we didn't differentiate. Whatever you can't do, whether Shabbos or not, you're not telling a non-Jew to do. So the Gemara says, Tashima, come in here, bring a riot from one of the brises we mentioned before. The brises said, Nachri hadash biparasi shal Yisrael, a non-Jew who threshes with the cow of a Jew. So the owner of the cow is not violating the isav leisachsim, because although it's his cow, but the non-Jew is doing the work. So says the Gemara, mavahu d'le'aver. The wording in the Braisa indicates that he's not violating ha'isr ikka, but prohibitorily, you're not allowed to. So you're not violating, which would sound like biblically, but rabbinically there is a problem because the isav amir l'nachri. You're not telling non-Jew to use your cow to do an isr. So that the Gemara says, no. Bedinu di isur namelaka. The truth is that there's not even any prohibition. It's not even rabbinically forbidden. There's no problem of mil anachri regarding this of leisachsim. But for Aida, the Tana says, it's only because it kept the uniformity. Where the Braisa then says that the Yisrael hadash b'parasa shal nachri oiver. If a Jew is threshing with the non-Jew's cow and he's muzzling it, then he does violate, he's actually violating the biblical prohibition of leisachsim. So Tana Risha eino oiver, so therefore the Risha kept the same uniformity of the word oiver eino oiver, but it's not just that you're not violating, but actually there's not even any isser, because we could say that there's no isser mil nachri, not even, meaning the isser is only by Shabbos and not by leisachsim. So there's no proof. So the message Toshima, let's bring a raya, come in here, the Shulchan le'lavu de Shmuel. They had sent the following question to the father of Shmuel. They said, Halan Tairi, these bulls, as we continue to Amid Beis, the Ganvin Armoi, the non-Jews, steal our animals, umagandchen yasain, and then they do what's called sirus, they go ahead and they make it impossible, they castrate the animals, and then they give it back to the owners. Now, why do they do this? It's because they're friendly with the Jewish people, and they know that a Jew is not allowed to castrate his animal, where although when you castrate the animal, it turns it into a bull, it makes it even better, it's able to plow even stronger. So the non-Jew steals the animal of the friend of his Jewish friend, and he does this castration of the ox and turns it into a bull, and now it works better. So they asked him, what's halacha? So Shalchul, he said to them, haram is avid behu. That's underhanded trickery that they're doing. Meaning to say, what? They're like winking and saying, oh, we can't do this. You can't do it. Why? Jewish law says we're not castrated. You mean you can't? And what about us? Well, whatever. And so it's subterfuge that they're using, where they're letting their non-Jewish friends go ahead and castrate for them and give it back to them. So he said to them, the father Shmuel, arima alayu, so now you subterfuge with them, meaning, v'yizdabdun. And therefore, the Jewish owner of this bull has to go ahead and sell it, and the Jew is not allowed to benefit from the sin that was done with it. Meaning, he did this whole purpose so that it could be able to plow better. So if we penalize him, then now he can't plow with it, he has to go ahead and sell it. So says the Gemara, one thing that we see over here is that although the prohibition of castrating an animal is a negative prohibition, still we see that there is an isra of Amir Lanachri, and that's why, since they violated the Amir Lanachri in this case, they were penalized and they're not allowed to go ahead and use it. So you see Amir Lanachri applies not just by Shabbos, even like in our case of Leisachsim Shabbadisha. So I think where it says no. Amar Papa, he says, B'nei Maravo, the people of the West, meaning of Eretz Yisrael, who had sent the question to the father of Shmuel, Savri Laker Reb Chidka. They held like Reb Chidka, which his opinions brought him a Sechta Sanedrin of Nedvov Mabez. The Amar that he says, B'nei Noyach, even non-Jews, mitzuvan ala siris, are commanded regarding the prohibition of castrating an animal. And therefore, v'ka'avri, therefore, this Jew who tells the non-Jew to go ahead and castrate his animal, he's violating mishum b'lifnei ivalei sitin mikshal, because of the prohibition of in front of a blind person now put a stumbling block because he's making the non-Jew violate his prohibition. So that's why they were penalized in that case. But regarding something that the non-Jew is not prohibited, regarding muzzling or all these other things, a non-Jew doesn't have Issur of Shabbos, so regarding Shabbos is prohibited. But I would tell you that, let's say, B'leis Safsam Shabbadisha, where there's no Issur for a non-Jew, then it would actually would be permitted. There's no proof from the case of castration, because there the penalty is not because of a mule and nachri of the Jew's own Issur, it's because of causing the non-Jew to violate his own Issur. That's why they were penalized in that case. So therefore, there's no proof regarding the question we had asked. Now, the Gemara just clarifies regarding this, that the previous case that we brought, where that if the Jew had the non-Jew castrate his animal, that he has to sell it. So Sava Rava Lameima Yumachu L'Shechita. Rava thought to say that the penalty goes so far that he has to sell the bull for slaughtering purposes. In other words, that the castration should not even help, because now if he's going to sell it, a bull is worth a lot more because it could plow much better than before it was castrated, that he shouldn't benefit at all from the sale even. So therefore, not only is he not allowed to plow with it, he's not allowed to even sell it for plowing purposes, because now he's going to get more money because of the fact that it's castrated. Abai said to Rabbi that no, dayan shekanasta le'machira. It's enough that the penalty was that he has to go ahead and sell it. In other words, the whole purpose why he went through the effort of having it castrated was that he should be able to plow with it himself. And that he didn't accomplish what his goal was, because now he has to sell it. But we don't have to make him sell it only for slaughtering purposes. He could even sell it for plowing purposes, which he'll get more money now that it's castrated. Now, another clarification on this halacha, the Gemara says, Pshita, it's obvious that b'nai gadol ki'achadami, that his adult son is like another person. In other words, it's enough, as although we said he can't plow with it himself, but he could sell it off to someone else, who that person could plow with it, he could sell it to his adult son, and his adult son is like someone else, and that would be considered fulfilling the penalty of selling it off. But the question is, what's the halacha with his minor son? Is that considered selling to someone else, or that's just like himself, and therefore that doesn't fulfill the penalty of having to sell it off? So the Gemara says, Machleik is Ravachi. Oh, so he says it's forbidden. Ravashi, sure, Ravashi says it's permitted. Now the Gemara brings that Mereimu Umazutra, Vamrilan, some say it was actually Hanu Trei Chasidu, these two pious individuals, that Mechalfi Ad-Dodi, their oxen that were stolen and by their non-Jewish friends who had gone along and castrated it, they went and swapped, meaning as a sale between the two. He sold him his castrated one and he sold him his castrated one, so they just swapped it. Now Tosafot points out that it was talking about where the non-Jewish friends actually castrated without their awareness. So it wasn't something that they would penalize because as if they violated anything. They didn't do it intentionally. But still they swapped it with each other, that people maybe might not believe that they weren't aware of it. Or actually it's because they don't want other people to say to non-Jews to do this, and then they can say, oh, we weren't aware. What do you mean? You let those two rabbis go ahead and keep it. So because of that, they went and fulfilled it by swapping it to each other to fulfill this halacha of selling it off if the animal was castrated. Nothing more goes back to the discussion that we were talking about from the previous staff regarding this halacha of Lisachsim Shar Bedishe. So Bai Rami Bar Chama, he asked, Hoishiv L'Koitz B'Fiya Maho. What's the halacha if the owner of the cow puts a thorn in its mouth as it's threshing, and therefore it's not going to be able to eat because the thorn is in its way? What's the halacha over there? So the Gemara says, Hoishivla, what are you talking about? If the owner put the thorn in its mouth, Chasim Malyasi, that's a bona fide muzzling because it can't eat. It doesn't mean just a muzzle, it means whatever it takes to block it from eating. Of course that's forbidden. Ela rather, says the Gemara, the question is, Yashivla Kaitz Befiya. If a thorn by itself gets stuck in the mouth of the ox, and therefore now it can't eat from the threshing, Ma, what's the halacha? Is there a mitzvah to take it away, or you're not commanded to take it away? That's the question. Another question, what's the halacha if the owner puts a line on the outside, and now the animal, because of the fear of the line, can't eat when it's threshing? What's the halacha in that case? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? You're talking about where the person puts the line there waiting over there on the outside? That's a bona fide muzzling. You're doing something to prevent the animal from eating. Of course that's forbidden. The question rather is, if the line by itself is lying out there, and therefore the animal can't eat, is there a commandment here in an active way to have to take the animal, the line, away? Or not? So to another question is, what's the halacha if he puts the child of the animal on the outside, Whereas Tosfos says, even though you have the girsa hemet, it's not the same as a lion. It's a little bit less. So therefore, the question is that considered muzzling it by being concerned about its child and not being able to eat, or is that not problematic? So to another question is, what's halacha if it was thirsty for water? What's halacha over there? Are you commanded to give it water to drink so then it will be able to eat? Or are you not? You're not muzzling it, so it can't eat fine. It's not my fault. Paris la ketavli al gabidisha. What's if he spreads out a boiled piece of hide, like a covering, over the threshing? So the animal is stepping on the grain because it's going on there, but it doesn't see what it's threshing because it's being covered by a piece of leather, of boiled hide. Ma, what's halacha in that case? Do we consider that as leisasim shor bedisha, or is that not considered bedisha because it doesn't see the grain? So the Gemara says, Pashat Mia, we can resolve one of these from a braisa, chada, one of these questions we had from the following braisa, the Talmud learned the braisa. Rishai Baal Para, the owner of the cow, who leased out his cow to be threshed by someone else, is allowed to be laharv paras, allowed to hunger his cow, so that when he rents it out, I don't want to pay for my cow's food. I know that this guy is coming at 3 o'clock to rent my cow to go and thresh with it. He could starve it so that it'll eat from what it's threshing a lot. So too, it could go the other way too. So the owner of the field who's renting the cow is allowed to open up bundles of straw in front of the animal that's threshing, so that it should not eat from the threshing a lot, because it's going to be full from the straw that it ate. Which essentially, that's like the case of spreading out the piece of the hide, of the leather, where we should be able to resolve that it's permitted to go ahead and do something to prevent it from eating, just like you're allowed to give it straw to eat, so you're allowed to spread out the boiled hide. So the Gemara says, no, shani hasan tekachla. By the case of when you give it straw to eat, it's different over there because there it ate. Here, although it's not seeing it, but it didn't eat, maybe that technique would not be permitted. Or Ibai Sim, or another difference would be, Rishoy Balabais Lahatu Biki Amr Lefne Behema Meikara. When did we say that the landowner is allowed to go ahead and open up a pile of straw in front of the animal? That's from before. In other words, so that its stomach is already full from the straw before it even goes to the thresh in the first place. That you'll have to do. That it shouldn't eat a lot from the threshing, but that doesn't tell us anything during the threshing itself, which is the case of putting out the piece of boiled hide of the leather. Maybe that would be forbidden. So that you can't resolve from this case. Now the Gemara brings another question. Says, what's the halacha if before the animal went even to go ahead and thresh, he muzzled the animal from before it went in? What's halacha in that case? So the Gemara explains, Shur bedisha amrachmana. Do we say that the Torah says loisachsim inalad muzzle shur and ox bedisha when it's threshing? I didn't muzzle when it's threshing. I muzzled before it. Now it came in muzzled, and therefore it's permitted. Now because b'halab bedisha, it's not in the threshing. Idemo, maybe you say that no loisidish bechasima amrachmana. What's the Torah saying? You're not allowed to thresh with it being muzzled, and therefore since it's muzzled, it is forbidden. So amalei. So this question was asked by Rabbi Yehonasan from Rabbi Simai. So Rabbi Simai said to Rabbi Yehonasan, "Me base of vicha atalamet, from your father's household, because he was a kohen, you could learn." The pasuk says in Vayikra, "Yain v'shecher al teish." Kahanim are forbidden to drink wine and intoxicating beverage. Ata uvenecha itach bevayachem. You, Aaron Akayin, and your children, when you come into the base of Mikdash to do that avoda. Now, Avadi says, "What bevayachem hu de aser?" What? So what are you going to think to interpret this pasuk? It's only when you're coming in that you're forbidden to drink wine? Hamishto ma'ayel shari, but if you had drunk beforehand and now you're coming in all drunk, that is permitted, but which would be the same type of a dik of, oh, v'dishe, when you're threshing, then you're not a muzzle, but before in muzzle was permitted. But the pasuk says, u'lahavdu bin ha'kaidu shebin ha'chaylim rachman. The Torah says, to be able to differentiate between what's holy and what's profane, which it says right after that, which sounds like that the reason why you're not allowed to drink is so that the kohen should be able to differentiate between what's a sanctified service and what's desecrated. Now, if the kohen had drank beforehand and now he's coming in drunk, he's still drunk and he doesn't know how to differentiate. Ella rather says the Gemara, Mahasa Meshas Bia, Loite Shechas. Rather, so we interpret the pasuk, what it means is it doesn't mean Bivayachim only when you're coming in, I'll drink. It means you cannot be coming in already in a state of shikris, of intoxication. It means the same thing. It doesn't mean you're just not a muzzle as it's threshing. It cannot be threshing coming in a state of being muzzled, and therefore it would be forbidden even if he muzzled him beforehand. Tanan Bar Linda writes another halacha regarding this topic. Someone muzzles a cow. Now, but he doesn't put it over the produce to thresh it. But his friend then goes and threshes with that animal. Or, Vamazavik Beklaim, if someone peers together prohibited animals from plowing together, which is, let's say, a shur and a chamar, an ox and a donkey, on hitching them to one wagon. Now, he doesn't do that. He just puts them together. Now, his friend comes and then drives the wagon. Says, the Braisa Pater, the first guy is going to be exempt. And Ve'ena Leike, Eladasha, Manig Bilvad, the only one who gets lashes is the one who is now threshing with the muzzled animal or leading the peered animals. He's the one that does. Because the Torah says, Leisidish, it tells us that you're not allowed to thresh with it being muzzled. And so too, by Klaim, it says, Leisachrish, you're not allowed to plow. The penalty, the lashes, is not for the one who muzzles it or peers them together. It's the actual plowing, it's driving them together or threshing with it. So therefore, the one who takes, as we said, continuing from the previous discussion, it's muzzled then when you're threshing with it as a problem. So the one who muzzled it doesn't get the lashes. The one who now threshes with it. Now, Itmar, we learned, Chasama Bekoil. If someone muzzles an animal by voice, by sound, meaning when the animal is bending down to eat, then he would scream at the animal, and the animal would not eat. Or Vinhiga Bekoil. Or if, let's say, he takes a prohibited mixture of animals, an ox and a donkey, and he makes them go in this climb, in this forbidden mixture, by screaming at them, but it's not like he's holding onto a stick and prodding them. He just screams at them, and therefore they go because of his voice. So we have machlekes. Rabbi Yechon Amachayev, he says that the one who made the muzzling or the animals that appear together go because of his voice is going to be liable. Rosh Lakish Amipate says he's going to be exempt, as the Gemara explains. Rabbi Yechon Amachayev says he's going to be liable because Akimas Piv have a Maisa. The bendings, the contortions of his lips, of his mouth, is an action. And therefore, it's considered what's called a lav sheyesh by maisa, a negative prohibition that has an action attached to it. And a lav sheyesh by maisa has an action attached to it, you get lashes, which is this isser of muzzling an animal or climb of the two animals. Whereas Rosh Lakish HaMapati says, you're going to be exempt because kol lo have a maisa. Even if you'd say that you're violating the prohibition, but it's a lav sheyesh by maisa, you didn't do any action, just going, is not considered an action. Action is using hands, feet, something that's an action. And since it's not an action, therefore, says Rosh Lakish, you're not going to be violating to get lashes for the Issa of Leisachrish Shrebetishoy or of the prohibition of Leisachrish Shrebechamar Yachtav.